Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. It's been kind of rainy and cold in Los Angeles the last couple of days. I recorded this interview you're about to hear last Friday, I think it was, and it was still warm and sunny then, and the last few days it's been rainy, but it's been nice to have rain. I don't have to water or turn the sprinklers on. It's been very nice. I have been reading the Bridgerton books. If you follow me on Twitter or Instagram, you've seen that I was obsessed with the television show. I'm so excited for season two. But I've been reading the books as well on my Kindle, and I'm very excited about them. They've been really good. Super indulgent. That's what I like about the series. It's just so indulgent and fun. I love it. Highly recommend the books if you haven't read them yet. Today on the show, we have Mark McKinnon. You've probably seen his face in Blue Bloods or FBI or a bunch of other stuff. He has a new movie called The Available Wife that we're going to talk about, and it was a pleasure to get to know him. So here's my conversation with Mark McKinnon. Welcome to the show, Mark!
Oh, thank you. I'm honored to be here. Excited.
I'm so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I'm really looking forward to this talk.
Me too. How are you? How are you doing? You're over on in the New York side of things, yeah?
Yeah. You know, I'm doing good with all things given. You know, grateful for life and health, and you know, a mental peace of mind. You know, I'm really good, glad, gracious for that.
Yeah, I feel that. Is it cold over there? Because we got the sun shining bright over here.
Cold is an understatement. You know, like it's freezing out here. I mean, it's a little warm today, just a little bit, but it's still cold. You know,
yeah,
coat for sure.
You'll be like Bernie Sanders with your mittens going outside.
Man. I'm waiting for mine to come in the mail now. I ordered mine.
That was the funniest. I was dying over those mittens. I was like, there's nothing more New England than this man sitting there with his mittens on.
The world couldn't wait. They had to get that out there right away. Like,
yeah.
That's all that's on social media right now. Like, it's his mittens.
I definitely joined in on the fun. I couldn't help myself. So I was reading a little bit about you before we hopped on here, and I read that in high school you were all about football. Is that right?
Oh, that is correct. I mean, I still love football to this day. I know I'm not playing it anymore, but football was my first love. Surprisingly enough, I didn't play all 4 years of high school. I was playing basketball first, and we had one of the seniors at the time that I was a junior come back to the team to talk to us and said one of his biggest regrets was not being able to try out football before he graduated.
Oh.
When he said that, that sparked something in me to say, you know what? I don't want to be that guy that says the same thing, because I love watching football, but I never gave it a try. So my senior year, tried for the football team, made the team. Not only did I make the team, I ended up starting at wide receiver and defensive back.
Dang!
Broke the record for interceptions, made MVP of the team, made all And then all these colleges started making me offers all from 1 year of playing, you know, so I was knew I was this good 2 or 3 years prior, but you know, everything happens for a reason. But yeah, football was my first love. Even did a little bit of it my freshman year in college as well.
You did. So you took that over. You went to Howard. Is that right?
Yes, I did go to Howard. And
that's amazing.
The crazy part is Howard didn't offer me a scholarship. Out of all the schools that offered me, they weren't one of the ones that did. But because my mom worked there, you know, I still was able to get my tuition taken care of, and I walked onto the football team.
Oh my God, your mom worked at Howard?
Yes, yep. She worked there 15 years. Yep, 15 years. She's retired now, but that's how my college was paid for, you know.
Wow.
Athletic scholarships, you know. Yeah.
That's so cool because it's such a historic school. Like, that's amazing that your mom worked there and you went there.
Yes, I'm a proud alum. I am.
You must have been so excited on inauguration day.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, a Howard alum up there?
I've been throwing it in a lot of people's faces. Like, we got a man escorted in, and, you know, we have a vice president that's from our university. So we're very, very proud.
That's so cool. So how long until you discovered acting? Did you discover that at Howard, or did you discover it before then?
Before then. So I discovered it my junior year of high school. I went to go support a friend who was auditioning for the school play. And, you know, in high school, they let you kind of sit in on the auditions, you know, watch everybody audition. But the drama teacher at the time, because I took an elective with her, she's like, Mark, you should audition. I'm like, no, I'm an athlete. I'm not going to do it. She's like, you should do it. And I noticed that, you know, my school at the time wasn't that many blacks, you know, in the arts program. So I decided to, you know what, let me go ahead and give it a try. Ended up booking the lead roles, my first audition ever.
Oh my God, did your friend like absolutely hate you?
Yes, they were like, wait a minute, you don't even take this serious, you don't really care about it. And I didn't at the time, you know, so I did it, you know, so to go from never really acting before to taking on a lead role, what a good crash course, you know?
And, major crash course.
Yeah, you know, and it was a play called Little Women. It's actually a movie.
Oh
now.
My gosh.
Yeah. But
just a little show.
Yeah, just a little show. But I played Laurie in there, and I remember a lot of my football teammates came out to laugh at me. The basketball team came out as well. And I got teased a little bit, but they came out and supported. But the thing that made me stick to acting was I saw how many blacks came out. And males in general come out to audition for the play the next season.
Oh, wow. And my school
actually recognized me for it. The drama teacher talked about it. You know, so when I saw that social change, I said, wow, like by me telling the story, being a part of this theater arts program, I saw people wanting to try something different, you know. And so that's what made me say, you know what, I want to major in this and really take it serious.
That's such a beautiful intro into this industry. I mean, that's not something that you hear much from actors.
I agree. Yeah, it's not, you know, I didn't have the parents raise me in the theater and had me in commercials when I was younger. I'm considered a late bloomer.
A late bloomer, but a very welcome one.
Thank you.
That's exciting. Your high school must have like photos of you everywhere.
They have one picture of me because I won the most athletic, so they do have this big picture of me in the high school. When that was years ago when I went to go check it out. I don't know if it's still there or not. Way too long now. They probably got new pictures up, but they did have a nice size poster of me framed up, you know, for being the most athletic.
I dig it. You were like breaking down stereotypes at a young age, man. Athlete, actor.
Didn't know what I was doing. I just was living my life.
That's the best way to do it, though, you know?
Right.
So you go to Howard and you graduate from there. And then what? What way did you go? Did you go to New York, LA? Did you immediately want to go into acting, or was there something else on your mind?
So the crazy thing is, right after college, my plan was to go to LA. You know, I actually had a scholarship to go to a conservatory out there. Even had mentors that, you know, was going to sponsor me to go out there as well. Everything was like in place for me to go. But literally 1 month before it was time for me to move, I'm a man of faith, and God told me not yet. You know, he was like, you're not yet. He told me, stay on the East Coast and trust me. And that's what I did. I didn't understand that deposit that was put down for the program is really gone now, but I didn't do it, you know. And so I decided to go back and forth to New York because I was living in D.C. at the time. And that's how I built my career. I started off in the D.C. market, working on smaller industrials and doing, you know, a few local and regional commercials. And then I started taking classes in New York and started, you know, trying to meet agents and managers and casting directors in New York. And then 2016 was when I finally got a manager that was able to get me into some good rooms. And within the first 3 months of me being represented by him, I booked my first co-star role. And that was on Blue Bloods. Yeah.
That's so exciting. And you've done several episodes of Blue Bloods now.
Yes. Yep. So it started off with me just having one episode, but they keep bringing me back every season. I'm like, yeah, keep calling me. I love those calls.
Heck yeah. That's like the ultimate compliment.
Yes. Yes. I'm grateful for it. And right after that very first booking, things got crazy in a good way, because literally within a 3 month period, a 4 month period, I booked three different roles as well, all on network TV. So I saw how quickly things started to move once I had the right representation.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Your representation really does control part of your career, because there's so many things that as an actor you can't control. A lot of that is getting into the rooms. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the person to get you into the room, then you don't get anywhere.
You don't get anywhere. You know, I try to tell so many of my friends back in, you know, the D.C. area, you know, you can dream about, you know, being on network TV all you want, but you got to have a rep in New York, L.A. or Atlanta. That's what I tell people all the time, because they're in those markets. That's going to get you in the door.
It's crazy, too, to see Atlanta kind of on this major upturn right now. It's like half the stuff is filming there, and it's amazing.
Yes.
And I want to move there like everybody else.
Yeah, a lot of shows that we're filming in other places are now going down to Georgia. I think it's because like the tax credit or something, like, but a lot of productions are going down there to Georgia to run.
Yeah. Well, and you got Tyler Perry Studios down there now, too. So that's huge and amazing.
Yes. Yes. That was amazing when that announcement came out. And then I saw like the images from what that, you know, that whole world looked like down there. I was just really just blown away by that, you know, for Tyler to come from the theater world and to take his own products and, you know, to build it to where it is today was truly inspiring to see.
Yeah. No, he's definitely one of those people that has made his own way. And it's been beautiful to see what he's done for so many other filmmakers as well.
Yes, I agree. Yes.
So you move to New York, or you're going back and forth. You got this great agent. You're on Blue Bloods, and then things start rolling. And then how long until you kind of fell into BET and doing their short films and their movies?
Yeah, so the BET movie came about last year, 2020. So it took me 4 years to get my first lead in a network movie. You know, so that was...
That's quick, though.
That's what I'm learning. To me, you know, when you're an actor, you want things to happen so fast. So my mom, like, yo, that took forever. But so many people that I talked to, they're like, wow, that happened fast for you to be a lead in a network film, you know. And my
that's pretty quick. That's amazing.
It is. And, you know, my PR team, they've been doing Icon PR. They've been doing a phenomenal job of just getting the word out and just letting people know about this great opportunity and like what I did outside of the film itself to really spread the message.
Mm. And the film is about two women who are sitting in a waiting room, for those who haven't seen it, and they're waiting to hear if they have breast cancer or not. And I hear that you have a special connection to that as well.
Yes. BET and BET Her, they did a phenomenal job of creating this initiative on breast cancer awareness. And so my film, Like, Comment, Subscribe, was one of the two films on the waiting rooms. And I was honored to do it because I was able to honor my grandmother. She died of breast cancer. And, you know, this was my way of honoring her. You know, the role, I thought about her every single day that I was on set. You know, I was ready to jump on this role as soon as the opportunity came.
That's so wonderful. It's so nice when you find things that you connect with on such a deep and personal level. Yeah. And you're able to portray that for others who are also going through it. It's such a different type of connection.
Absolutely, because you're able to pull from yourself like fully, rather than, oh, let me go interview somebody, let me go find out what this life or this pain or this success is like. I'm able to tap into my own life and process what I've been through. And surprisingly, I was learning things about myself as I dug into what I was really feeling, you know, from her death, from breast cancer, because I never really did full research on breast cancer. I just knew, you know, you growing up, you just know, okay, it's breast cancer, it's some form of cancer, that's all you know, and then you leave it alone. But with this movie and the message, like, I really had to really learn and see different interviews and the process of what somebody goes through and the pain and the struggle, what they go through when they're trying to fight cancer. And it was a tearjerker. It really was.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
You brought up a very interesting point where it's like, when you get these types of roles that you have a personal connection to, you may not have gone through those emotions that you had felt before fully. Because so many of us try to, you know, when pain comes about, we all try to push it away or hide it, and you don't actually go through it like you need to. And it's interesting that this role made you do that.
Yeah, it really did. And I'm proud of myself for, you know, getting through it and just really open up conversations with family members, because it led to a lot of questions, you know, because I wasn't around her as much to see the full process, you know. So it really led to some really good relationship building with some family members, but also learning more about who she was.
That's such a beautiful story. I love that. Where can people watch that short film?
So now it's currently on BET.com and the BET app. You can search The Waiting Room Season 2 and you'll be able to see the episodes.
That's so exciting. And then you have a new film called The Available Wife. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, Available Wife, a very fun one. This one was directed by Jamal Hill. Beautiful story about a young woman who is the CEO of a multi-million dollar record label. But throughout the movie, you found out that she kind of got it through some dark secrets.
Ooh.
So it's a really fun story, very flashy movie, but it's a really, really great cast. KJ Smith, who's currently the lead on Sisters, is the lead in that movie, as well as Terrell Hill. It was great to work with them and to break bread with them. To this day, we're still friends and talk to each other daily. So it's just really good that, you know, we develop a great friendship, you know, from that opportunity.
Yeah, I love films like that. The indulgence of it, you know, not taking itself too seriously, and also just being able to like really dive into like, I don't know, the funness of it, you know?
Yeah, especially my role, you know, because I didn't know too much about the music industry. So I played the executive of a record label, you know, so to be able to learn that world and that jargon and how it works in the music business, you know, that really was a very interesting journey, you know, so I know a little something now about the music the business.
I love that. You know, listening to you talk about all of this stuff, it sounds like you're one of the actors, and I'm the same way, that really looks into everything having to do with the role and does the research and talks to the people. Mm-hmm. And it's so nice to hear other actors do that, because I know there are people who will just like do it and make assumptions, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's the people like us who sit there like it's like true homework figuring things out.
But I have my why behind it, because I feel like I'm representing that person who is in that occupation, no matter what role it is or what story it is. I feel like I'm representing you on that screen, you know, so
100%.
I'm gonna make sure I could tell your story the right way as best as possible.
And I feel like that is what makes for the most authentic performances. And you can tell when an actor really does spend the time doing the research versus people who don't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I see it night and day. I do.
So this show, I like to talk about bad auditions or funny auditions and all of the above, just because I think it's important for us all to talk about the good and the bad, right? Yeah. Most of the time you do these interviews and it's like everyone's talking about the great things and nobody really touches on like the struggles that we go through as actors.
Right.
So do you have a story or a couple stories that you'd like to share with us today?
I do have a bad audition story.
Yes.
This was a couple of years ago, and this was back when I was taking the bus, you know, back and forth to New York. It just so happened that traffic that day was horrific, you know, and I was going out for a guest star role. I think it was a lawyer. I can't remember. I just remember I had a suit on. It was in the summertime, so it was like 90 degrees, and New York heat is not fun.
No joke. That's like the type of heat that like makes your hair stand up.
Yes. Like everybody, you know, you see actors all the time just sweating and changing clothes. Like you can't wear the same outfit from one audition to the next. Okay. But yeah, so, you know, my audition was supposed to be at a certain time. Let's say like it was supposed to be like at 4:00, you know, my bus gets to New York at like 3:45. Because I used to always try to make sure I got my bus there 2 hours in advance, maybe an hour and a half at the latest, you know. But
yeah,
there in New York 15 minutes before the audition, and then you got to actually get to the audition from the bus station. So I'm like moving as fast as I can, I'm running. The train is taking forever.
Oh, no.
So I show up maybe about 15, 20 minutes late, which is not as bad as I thought it was going to be. But when I got there, I didn't put two and two together. It's like towards the end of the day. And when I got there, there was no other actors in the room. You saw all these actors that signed in already. So I'm thinking I was going to have time to sit around, cool down. But as soon as I walked in, the casting director walked out.
Oh, gosh.
We're ready for you. I was like, and I wasn't mature enough to say, can I have a moment? Like, I just was like, I don't want to mess this up. So I went into the room. I'm all sweating. I'm all flustered. In my this role, I went to go see my coach. For it, I made sure I studied it night and day. I knew, but because I was so flustered from being hot and sweating, and you know, you're running late, you got your mind just like, oh my God, they're not gonna let me audition, and you got all these things going on. I could not get past the first two lines.
Oh no.
I tried to go, and the cast director called me in plenty of times before, so they kind of knew, like, all right, he just was off. You can kind of read it. Mm-hmm. But I did it three times in a row. It was like, it just wasn't my day. It just wasn't. And I feel like I missed out on a really great opportunity. But, I mean, that office to this day still called me in. You know, I booked.
Well, that's good. That's the shining light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, it really, I was grateful. But I'm glad I had that learning lesson. So now when I'm always giving somebody advice, it's like, no matter how late you are, what happens, just try your best to be relaxed. Because no matter how prepared you are, if you're not relaxed going into their room, that preparation almost doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, and I like what you said at the beginning of the story where you said you weren't mature enough yet to ask them for a moment. Mm-hmm. Because it is so important for us to have those moments before. And if you're not, like you said, totally relaxed before you go in, it's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, it is. It is.
The only time I've found like flustering to be good is if it's like an audition where you have to cry really hard.
Right, right.
And then it's like, okay, well, if I'm flustered, I'll just use that because I'll just cry that. Because I'm failing.
And they're like, oh my gosh, she's connected. She brought it. Like,
exactly.
If only you knew. If only you knew. Nah, I get it. I definitely get it. And yeah, it's... Those bad auditions become treasures, you know, because there's always something to learn from it. And it took me a while to understand that, you know, because we always want things to be perfect. We always think every opportunity is supposed to be the opportunity. But a lot of times things are meant to be learning lessons. And those are, it's tough to say that, but it's so true. Whether it's something on set or in an audition, a lot of times mistakes or things that don't go our way is there to teach us something.
It's true. And I like what you said just now, too, about having each audition be the one, because it's not, and you know it's not, like, in the back of your head you know it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to treat it like it is, like a lesson, because I think that would be better for your psyche at the end of the day.
Yeah, what helped me, so Rob DeCena, he's currently the head casting director of all of CBS casting, he has a book out called The Art of Auditioning, and he talks about that. He's like, if you feel nervous going in the room, or you feel like the pressure of like you got to have this role, you got to think about it. The chances of you getting a role are like one in a zillion.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's almost guaranteed you're not going to get a role. So you might as well have fun.
Exactly.
It's like a bonus if you do get the role. It's a surprise if you get the role. Like, you know, and I actually took that. At first I was confused. I was like, what do you mean? You're supposed to go in there and one in a role. But I was like, that makes sense, because it does take the pressure off of you. You know, when you realize, you know what, I'm just going in there to have fun, just to, one, book the room if I can. And two, let that casting director want to fall in love with me. So he or she will always want to call me in for future things.
Exactly. Because a lot of times the auditions are just to create that connection between you and the casting office.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. And so, yeah, I definitely push for that all the time. And to this day, continue to try to build those relationships.
Yeah. A long time ago, I figured out that if I didn't want something, I could book it. And so now when I find things that I like really want, I'm like, no, you don't want it.
You don't want it.
You don't care. You can go into that room and say, it doesn't matter.
But I don't know about you, but I've had auditions where it was like, oh my God, I was terrible. I don't know what I was doing. But those be the roles I booked. But then the role that I felt like, oh, I killed it. I gave them what I knew they wanted or whatever. It's like, I never heard back, you know.
Yeah. So
like, I stopped trying to figure it out. Like,
100%. Yeah, you got to stop trying to figure it out, because they're like, you can't know exactly what they're thinking. Who knows? Honestly, who knows?
Yeah, and then even if that person, that casting director loves you, you still have 20 other people who still has to sign off on. You know, so it's just so many things behind the scenes. And I learned a lot more, because I actually was hired to cast two films for BET last year.
Wow.
And this was my first time fully being a casting director. You know, before I would like submit a few actors or refer a few actors, but to be the actual casting director, I realized how much I didn't have the final say so as a casting director. You know, I can make recommendations, but the producer has their list, the director has their list, you know, like the showrunner has it, like everybody has their list on top of the casting director trying to create a list. So it's just, you learn a lot about how these decisions are made. And it's really hard to say this one person deserves the role.
It is. It's incredibly difficult. I've been on that side too. I've directed a couple films, and it's at the end of the day, when you're casting, it's like, there's so many people who are so wonderful. And if in a perfect world, you could give the role to all of them,
exactly.
But it's like, and sometimes you can't even explain it, right? Like sometimes you just watch somebody's tape and you're just like, that person's it. I don't know why, but she is, or he is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's a beautiful thing when you are that actor that happens, because sometimes the director or cat, they can't explain it. It was just something about that moment, that day, that audition, that really the light was shining on you. That like that was your moment.
It's true. It really is. Well, Mark, I have had such a wonderful time talking to you. What do you have next coming up?
Yeah, so right now I'm back on audition grind, you know, trying to see what pilot I can get next under my belt. You know, pilot season is always fun. So,
oh yeah,
keep me in prayer, good energies this way, because you know how it is, pilot season, multiple auditions, just over and over and over. So it's just like, you know, waiting to see which one will fall.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Where can people follow you on social media and keep up with your career?
Yes, I'm on Instagram at The Mark McKinnon. I'm also on Facebook at Mark McKinnon Entertainment. And you can follow my journey at themarkmckinnon.com.
Awesome. Thank you again so much for coming on. It was such a pleasure to get to know you.
Thank you again.
Of course. I'm excited to see what happens. Good luck this pilot season.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thanks again to Mark for coming on the show. Tune in next week. I have a super fun guest that I spoke with. I was very excited to talk to, so tune in then. Until then, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you're listening to it right now. Please rate and review. It's super helpful for me and the show, so please do that. And make sure you tell your friends, your family, whoever you think of when you listen to the show to tune in. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.